Bein Radio podcast with Dom Chambers.
Hello and welcome to the In Radio podcast, the programme that explores all facets, avenues and ideas around radio in the UK with a kind of higher purpose, that is, a value beyond quality, entertainment and information. What generally draws my interest is where local radio in particular is being used in some way for the public good, or even as a catalyst for social action. And in this edition of the programme, we're looking at the educational value of involvement and inclusion in training programmes at local radio stations, typically those operating under the community licence. I'm Dom Chambers, and this theme goes to the very heart of what motivates me as a radio manager, a trainer, a charity CEO, and, of course, as a broadcaster. The spotlight on this occasion falls on two fine community broadcasters, one of which I visited on a number of occasions, and the other I have yet to visit.
The In Radio. In Radio. Podcast. In Radio.
Swindon 105.5 is one of the longest-standing and most established community radio stations in the country. And over the course of time, I've got to know Shirley Ludford, who is the long-term manager of the station and has a particular interest, as you'll hear, in the educational side of radio training and how an individual can really benefit from it in terms of their own employability, mental health and opportunities, as well as building good practice for local radio. In that respect, we have so much in common in the way we lead our radio stations. So while exploring the educational side of radio training, Swindon was very naturally my first port of call. The other station I'm looking at today is Stafford FM, and a particular story came to my attention through the leading Facebook forum for people involved in community radio. It really is a tremendous story of how one young person's drive and determination blended in with dedication to learning her craft and training at her community radio station got her into the university of her choice, which had followed some rather unpromising exam results. That's all coming up later in the programme. Oh, and I had a little bonus when I visited Swindon, when I broke off the conversation with Shirley to go and meet one of Swindon's senior presenters, Alan Burston, and I had a great little chat with him during his live show, which, if I recall, was playing music from the 1950s. Music then was typically quite short, so that rather governed the length of our conversation, which we squeezed between two links. That was a lot of fun and worth hanging on for. Here are the voices coming up in today's programme.
We run accredited courses through the NCFE. We've run six of those, which has produced young people who've gone on to further education, onto university, passing degrees as well, which has been brilliant. But also those who just want to learn something new and feel that they've achieved, they've got that certificate. And that's just as important too. Everyone's needs and interests are different, and it's recognising that. The opportunities are there. It's up for individuals to take them. And having those accredited outcomes, we've had the youngest children in the country gain an NCFE certificate aged 9.
It's something that keeps me active. I listen to music throughout the week and think, oh, I'll play that one on the next programme or that one. And it's music with passion. And it's so wide. The spectrum of rock and roll and country and blues is so wide. You can play music from back in the 20s up until the music that's still being made today in the genres.
I decided to email the head of the course, trying to convince her about the work experience that I have and how enthusiastic I am about radio and journalism. And so I emailed her and she got back to me pretty quickly, and it ended up in her offering me a place on my first choice course. So I've got a place in university and I'm able to go in a few weeks.
That's the voice of Emma, and we'll be hearing her story later in the programme. And whilst we're about it, it's great to hear from an 18-year-old who has already developed a passion and skills in journalism. And we'll find out what's motivating her to step out into that career. Also, the voice of Alan in there. And of course, Shirley, in my conversation with her, will get the podcast properly underway. Quite naturally, of course, and you may be getting used to this, my first question is pretty well always, what is the purpose of the radio station that you run?
It's to provide a totally inclusive and accessible radio service, so broadcasting 24 hours a day, and has been the only community station, or the only station that's done that for Swindon ever. So all the programmes produced by local people, and off-air, a secondary aspect is the training and the volunteering aspect, which is very strong indeed. And we see people from all walks of life, all backgrounds, coming in, and that's what makes us, I think, rather special in the area.
Essentially, there's two reasons for training, as far as I can see, in a licensed community radio station. One is that you have to train people to go on air to service, you know, your remit as a community broadcaster in Swindon. But there's also a secondary agenda. It can really help with funding, so you need to meet outcomes around health, well-being, employability, etc. And that can really help sustain the station. Do you see it that way as well?
Absolutely. I think that's a remit for any station. It's serving a particular community. With Swindon, we think there may well be only one community station, so we're quite wide in our reach, if you like. And the outcomes we see meet all the things you've just said. And the difference we can see in individuals when they come in their confidence, their social skills, employability, going on to education, further education, and opportunities for people with disabilities who may have thought, not sure where I can go, coming in and realising the world's a big place. We're very individual here. Everyone is treated as an individual. We all have individual needs and individual skills and interests. We work on a one-to-one basis so that those are really worked with to the extent that individuals feel that they are valued and they can see their own potential. And when that's really realised, the station then sounds brilliant and they individually feel great. And then the potential for outside the station grows as well.
So I get that everybody is individually catered for, as it were, and their needs. I'm sure it's like me at Summer Valley FM. Everyone sits down, has a conversation with me, work out what it is that they need to be doing to meet their aspirations. And then we'll help them achieve that. We have a combination of individual and customised training, but also there are group offers, whilst, of course, people still have their independent or individual learning plans. Is it like that here?
Absolutely. We've got a mixture of both. And at the moment, I've got two ladies, one who runs a pottery studio, one who runs a golf club, both wanting to learn about the station in order to promote the station itself even more and promote their businesses. So we run them for schools, for community groups. We run a media savvy course for small businesses so that they can learn to promote themselves more effectively. We run work placements. We've got mixed courses as well, where people just say that they'd like to come in, and I mix the actual backgrounds of people together so they learn from each other as well. So it's a huge mix and we love it.
What about accredited outcomes?
We run accredited courses through the NCFE. We've run six of those, which has produced young people who've gone on to further education, onto university, passing degrees as well, which has been brilliant. But also those who just want to learn something new and feel that they've achieved, they've got that certificate. And that's just as important too. Everyone's needs and interests are different, and it's recognising that. The opportunities are there. It's up for individuals to take them. And having those accredited outcomes, we've had the youngest children in the country gain an NCFE certificate aged 9. And they came from a local school, one of the biggest mixes of cultures in the southwest of England. So a huge mix of children. And they gained their certificate. And the excitement amongst the school and the encouragement to other children to want to learn at that level was really, really great.
Do you think there's a need for what we might broadly describe as a basic level competency certificate, which could cover off on-air good practice, technical competency, and compliance and legal?
We run that already. Yes, I think you have to start off with the basics. You need to know the rules and regulations, the ground rules of broadcasting. That's crucial. Now, how can you put somebody on the air and then tell them off for doing something and they didn't know they shouldn't do it? So it's actually fair in any business that people understand the nature of the business, how they fit into that, and the skills that they need to do those jobs. And in a radio station, especially one like a community station, people often are multi-skilled. And that's another skill as well. So getting those ground rules right and then recognising that with a certificate. You see the smiles on people's faces. It's technically a piece of paper, but that recognises the fact that they have achieved at that level. And it recognises that we value their training and their dedication.
Is that an internal certificate?
We offer a Swindon 105.5 certificate for all those basic courses. And we're trying now to re-establish one of the local colleges, the NCFE certificate. But we're always looking for something new and different.
You're absolutely right, of course. Those three areas of competency I outlined, it's sort of a prerequisite for all volunteers to reach those levels of confidences so that they can broadcast without letting themselves down or, of course, the radio station. And it's good to hear that you've got an internal mechanism to certificate that. Do you think it'd be helpful if there was one available to the wider sector nationally?
Absolutely. I think everybody who comes in to a community station, whatever level they start at, should be recognised for their achievements. And that should be standard practice, I think. And it goes back to what I said just now, that everybody then feels that they've been trained, they've been shown what to do, so they're aware of how to use the equipment, how to interact, how to broadcast well. They feel that there's been some support given to them. And in return for their learning all of that, to do it to a real good level of competency, to receive that certificate to say, you've done well. That should be standard practice.
There seems to be an interest in developing what's, at the moment, I'm describing as sector-appropriate qualifications, and that's me hiding behind the fact that I'm still learning a great deal about how you recognise skills gained through volunteering and how you capture that progressive journey of skill development. And it may be that with kind of contemporary views on education, it may just be more than the traditional guided learning hours and a kind of examination process. Interesting conversations going on around digital credentials, for instance. Do you think that it'd be worth getting some kind of sector-orientated range of qualifications that could, of course, help people progress through community radio, either into the professional media networks, or, as you and I know, our agenda is much wider on employability and people's health and well-being. And those fantastic outcomes that training achieves in community radio, do you think it would be a good idea to have some sort of nationally recognised, as I say, sector-appropriate qualifications?
It might actually help some community stations who are not quite as au fait with it or quite sure what to do. So stations who are achieving well and have some good practices, it would be good for those to be shared, perhaps, and for that to be recognised, and for those who aren't delivering that at the moment to be shown how to do it. And in that format, yep, that could lean on to something that's recognised across the whole of the sector. All of our trainees keep a record of what they do. They're all given a diary, given to us by a local company free of charge. We do a lot of that here. Every single trainee is given a blank diary, and they're keeping there a record of their achievements, make notes of how to do things, and they've got their own notes of their journey. Likewise, when they're recording, they're given a memory stick and they can keep copies of their work and see how they started out, then how they sound at the end of their courses and training. So they actually can monitor and record their own journey. And we have copies of those, so we can use them then for demonstrating the outcomes that we have here at the radio station. That's a really simple thing to do. And for all stations to do that, it's actually a brilliant practice. So simple things like that could be spread across and encouraged for all stations to carry out.
Well, I think this station is such a great case study. I'll be back with my notebook and pen. Shirley, I always ask everybody I visit when I do go to a community radio station, or indeed a community media organisation, can you think of, I'm sure you can actually, it's a question of how we filter it. I'm always after those stories of maximum impact on individuals' lives that have come about because of their inclusion and because of the training they've received at a community radio station.
Where do I begin? I think you'll need to come back for the whole host of stories we have over the past 10 years. I'll give you one, and that's Lisa, who joined us 9 years ago, and an agency brought her in. She was born blind and was fiercely independent. She has told the story herself, so it's not talking about her, but with her, I think. And she would also acknowledge her journey. And we were told that she was basically unemployable because of her independence and her attitude. Through the radio station, she learnt how to record, edit, interview, present. She would go out on her own with her guide dog interviewing, coming back with some really good interviews. She also learned how to work at our admin desk as well. So we put a special program on our various computers so they are accessible to all. So she learned how to be one of my admin assistants 2 half-days a week. And from there, she's gone on to move to Aylesbury, and she has no guide dog now. Sadly, he died. And she's gone on with just her and a stick, not knowing Aylesbury at all, to a job, which is full-time. And she has now been working there for about a year. And her job is now matching people at home who need support with volunteers who want to give their time. So she's all over Aylesbury now, matching people and getting them the support that they need so that they can be independent. Something we never, ever thought would happen 9 years ago. But through her dedication and the support she's had here, that's led her onto a career. But she still keeps her contacts with Swindon 105.5 and has promised to come back for the Literacy Festival that happens here every year, and help report on that in the summertime. So she is a real credit to herself.
Lovely story, Shirley. And I know you and I could talk, frankly, till the cows come home. But on this occasion, we're going to keep it brief and around the training. Always a pleasure coming here. And I very much look forward to coming back soon.
Thank you very much indeed. 10 years of history to talk about. And I'm sure we look forward to the next 10 as well.
That conversation was recorded some time ago. And since then, Summer Valley FM, the station I run, has also had its 10th anniversary. Sustaining, building and developing a local radio station as a community enterprise and indeed a community asset is no small achievement, and I'm sure that should be the theme of a future podcast, and Shirley will be very welcome in that one as well. But before I left her and Swindon 105.5 on that particular day, she recommended I went and talk to the person who was on air at that very moment. It was a Saturday morning, if I recall, as it was not only a great example of somebody at the senior end of the community doing a fine job of presenting, but also that dedication was particularly apparent because he drives to Swindon all the way from Wales to do his show. Well, let's let the man tell it himself, as Shirley ushered me into the live studio.
You may not like my style, but with her pretty little smile, my baby tells me it's music to her ear. Look out!
My name's Al Burson, and I live in Pontypool, South Wales, and I lived in Swindon for about 30 years before moving back home.
And here we are in Swindon today. What are you doing?
I'm presenting a programme of 50s rock and roll, some blues, a bit of country music.
And you obviously travel quite a long way. How far do you travel to come and do this show?
It's about a 150-mile round trip, but I've still got friends up here I visit every Saturday in Swindon, and another friend in Purton after the programme. So it's an enjoyable day out for me.
And why do you travel so far to do this show?
Oh, because I just love I love the music. It's nice to share music.
And your associations with Swindon, is that one of the reasons why you want to keep coming back to this?
Yes, indeed. Yes, I love it here. I love it. I had to move back home with aged parents needing some care. But Swindon is basically, I consider, my hometown.
Are you retired yourself?
Yes, I am. Long retired.
And so in your retired life, what part does this have to play in it?
Well, it's something that keeps me active. I listen to music throughout the week and think, oh, I'll play that one on the next programme, or that one, and that's about it, really.
And what is it about the 50s that is your passion?
I just think that it's music with passion, and it's so wide. The spectrum of rock and roll and country and blues is so wide. You can play music from back in the 20s up until the music that's still being made today in the genres.
Well, Alan, I'm keeping an eye on that clock, and you've got 45 seconds till the next link. I'm going to keep the tape going, if that's all right, whilst you do your link.
Of course it is, of course. Memphis Bend with Tennessee, Music to My Ears is on Big Sandy and the Flyright Boys 95 album Swinging West, and Sub Harbo's Spooky Tune was released in 1970. A Smiley Lewis cut Lying Woman in 53.
Well, thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure.
It's been a real pleasure meeting you.
And you too. All the best to you.
And that's the way you do. If you keep on clowning, baby, bad luck gonna catch up with you. You told me that you love me.
And so we come to our last item in this edition of the programme. Now, what triggered this was a story I read on the Community Radio People closed group on Facebook, which is a brilliant forum set up by Andy Green from Exmouth Air and provides a really good opportunity for people to swap ideas, experience and information. Every now and again, though, it does sort of pitch down a road of, oh, really? Okay, so that person has an opinion which is valid, but they're not recognising that there may be other valid opinions as well. Well, Facebook has that tendency. Let's not forget, though, it is a tool, and it's a tool that can be used in all sorts of ways, and in this particular instance, it's generally very constructive and helpful. However, when a really positive story comes along, it rather sort of leaps out of the screen at you, given the fact that community broadcasters in the UK are beset by a number of challenges as they go about their work, and there's plenty of people to vocalise those. So, what was the story that grabbed my attention? It comes from Matt Sargent, who is a director at Stafford FM. And in mid-August 2019, he wrote, "Tooting my horn a little bit." Well, frankly, that alone got my attention. But, he continues, "I don't care. We need more positive stories. Another win for Stafford FM. She won't mind me mentioning, but following less than favourable A-levels, Emma was facing not being accepted to her university place. However, after some quick thinking and gathering a year's worth of evidence of interviews, events work, and shows at Stafford FM, she presented this to the admissions team. They were impressed and then proceeded to offer her a place on the course at Liverpool's John Morse, studying journalism." Matt continues, "Well done, Emma. We'll be ashamed to lose you, but it's great that we were able to help yet another volunteer continue up the ladder in radio journalism. We have had other volunteers move into the BBC, commercial radio and IRN sports coverage. If this isn't what community radio is all about, then I'm not sure what is." Well, of course, people volunteer in community radio for a whole bunch of reasons, of which forming a career pathway into the professional media zones is only one. But what struck me about this story immediately is somebody not accepting their apparent fate and doing something about it to take themselves forward. We'll find out a little bit more about Matt's part in this tale in a moment or two, but when I read his post, I contacted him, he put me in touch with Emma, and pretty soon she was on the end of a phone line from one of the Summer Valley FM studios. As our conversation got underway, naturally my priority was to hear her story in her own words.
What happened was I was quite underneath the entry requirements for my chosen university, and on the day, obviously, it was quite stressful because that was the one that I wanted to get into. So I was calling all of the relevant lines, making all of the emails that I could. And then after I was told that it wasn't going to be able to get me a place on the course by one of the people in the confirmation line, on the clearing line, I decided to email the head of the course, trying to convince her about the work experience that I have and how enthusiastic I am about radio and journalism. And so I emailed her and she got back to me pretty quickly, and it ended up in her offering me a place on my first choice course. So I've got a place in university and I'm able to go in a few weeks.
Well, that's fantastic. Congratulations. Just tell us which university it is.
Liverpool John Moores.
And why was that the first of your choice?
Liverpool is a great city, you know, everyone says that about Liverpool, and I felt like I could really work well in that place, and the course itself that Liverpool John Moores offers just has every element that I want. You know, it's a mixture of print and broadcast journalism, and it just gives you a variety of options to explore, and I just felt so comfortable within the facilities and talking to all of the staff. I felt like it was the place for me to go, and I feel like I can do a really good job and learn a lot.
Well, just hearing you now, I can see the enthusiasm behind your voice, and you're clearly very dedicated to the world of broadcasting and journalism.
Yeah, I only realised a year and a bit ago that I actually had such an interest in it all. And that's when I decided to try and get involved in something like Stafford FM. And I was able to have the amazing opportunity of being put straight onto a show, and it just made me realise how much I really wanted to be a part of the world of journalism.
And what was that moment?
It was when I got in contact with Matt Sargent, and we're family friends anyway, so it was a good way in. And then just the first day in the studio, I just realised, like, this is really cool, and this is what I can see myself doing in the future and being interested in for a really long time.
So I'm going to get you to describe your training there and how your journey continues. But what was the moment that you decided that journalism was for you? It sounded like there was that kind of magic moment, like Saul on the road to Damascus, and the clouds opened up and told him that he was going to go and do a bunch of stuff. And eventually he became a saint, of course. But what was your moment when you realised, that's what I want to do?
Yeah, it's it sounds a bit cliche that it kind of just clicks. But when I walked out of Stafford FM on the second show that I was on, I just thought, you know what, this is really for me, like, I really want to do this. Because before, I'd had the interest in it, but I'd never really got involved in it. And so coming out of that show that I was on air for the first time, I just thought, this is something that I want to do, this is something that I really am interested in, and it's not something that has gone away. So it felt comfortable and it felt right and it felt exciting. And so that's when I really knew that this is something that I wanted to pursue.
And tell me about those early days then at Stafford. Every community radio station has to train people because we're a volunteer orientated sector. But each station goes about that in its different ways. What was it like for you and others joining Stafford?
So the way that I was introduced into it, I started by watching Matt Sargent and Ellie Brogan, who did the Sports Sandwich last year at the start of August when I joined. I just watched what was going on. And then the second week, they got me on air. And so I joined them in talking about sports story. And we, you know, had conversation, got part of the intro. You know, obviously I was quite nervous, but they eased me into it really well. And then it was a few more weeks after that when I got on the desk for the first time. You know, Matt would bring me over to the desk and show me while we were on air and how to use it. And then a few weeks into it, I was put on the desk to have a go myself. And then pretty much every show since then, I've done at least an hour on the desk. You know, we take it in turns. And so you just get more confident and more familiar with all of the software and the different ways to introduce something, or, you know, pulling up mics, faders, things like that. And so it was a gradual process, but I found that I was, like, picking it up really quickly because of the way that I was introduced to it. And then eventually I was just allowed to go at it by myself.
And what about content? So you've obviously worked your way around the desk, but what are you putting into the programme?
So a lot of the content we get is the latest sports news. So that's either from, we get some things from Twitter, we use BBC Sports, we use IRN, but we also bring in our own people. We have a lot of people that come in for interviews that do local events, sport clubs, things like that, that have their own story. The first event that I was actually a part of was the Stafford 10K. So that's the first ever interview that I did. That was me collecting my own content for the first time. And then I continued that by doing a quite a long interview with a young dancer who strongly believed that dance was a sport and it wasn't just an art form. So it's a mix of content that's everywhere, and we bring it and we put our own twist and opinions on it and bring it to our listeners. Or we have our own stories to tell and other people's stories that we found locally.
What I like about what you've just said there is I think you've articulated one of the great purposes and points of community radio as a local radio station, particularly as other networks are retreating from localism. I think the local broadcaster talking about sporting fixtures, what's happening in their area from a sporting and a club point of view, is fundamental, because, I mean, our friends at the BBC, they are much more regional in their local radio, so they can't kind of they don't have the resource to zoom in on an area like a community radio station. Would you say that Stafford is performing that task well?
Yeah, I really think that we bring in a lot of people that have local things in the town and in the surrounding areas, and it gives people who listen to Stafford FM the ability to know what's going on in their town and in their area, and to be able to say and be told about different sports clubs, you know, from our show, and different events that are happening that you might not have coverage of on a larger, more regional radio show.
And the work that you've done there, did you send some of the audio then, or just described it to the people in Liverpool?
Yeah, so I did send an email along with my UCAS application before I had my conditional offer, and I attached a few pictures of me at Stafford FM and two of my interviews that I'd done, as well as the general information about what I do with the software and in the studio, just to reinforce everything that was a part of my UCAS application and kind of give me a better chance of getting that offer.
And how many points were you below your conditional offer?
I was 8 UCAS points, which is the same as one grade. So I wasn't going to sort of give up at that, because I was very determined to get into that course.
Well, that determination obviously came through. And did you get any feedback on your work, or did they just sort of contact you and say, OK, you can come along after all?
Yeah, I got a little bit of feedback. They were very positive about what I was doing and said that I was making a very good start. I didn't get any specific feedback on my interviews, but it was still very nice to know that they were very supportive and excited to see what I could do. And it got me an interview, and, you know, then it got me an offer, and then it got me a place.
Well, what are you hoping to do long term?
Long term, I'm really interested in obviously doing journalism at university. I'm leaning a lot more towards the broadcast side of journalism rather than print, because I haven't really explored print yet. But, you know, university gives me those two choices, but I definitely want to pursue a career in journalism, yeah.
Well, one of the things that motivated me to want to have this conversation with you is that I talk to lots of people who grew up in the world before the internet, where there was pop music, and the main way you got that was possibly recording it on a cassette, but really it was through the radio. So radio was king, and there's lots of people around these days involved in radio in all the sectors who, you know, that's what they're about. But we are in a fast-changing world. It is technically moving very quickly, and all sorts of changes all around us all the time. I'm interested in what motivates a young person like yourself to want to go into journalism and is interested in broadcasting.
Well, obviously you grow up watching the news and listening to the radio. You know, it's on in the background, and I didn't sort of grasp its importance until I'd grown up a bit and seen everything that was happening. But I just feel like you can always find a different story to tell, or a different angle from the same story. You know, there's an A story and a B story, and if you can find that B story, then it might actually be better and more interesting than the A story. And so I really just like to, I think it's so important to understand everything that's going on around you, and that's something that is really attractive to me about journalism, is because you can help people use their voice and get their voice out there and understand different current affairs and things that's happening around you. It just connects everyone and informs people, and I really like the way that happens through the media.
I'm hearing this more and more, that there's a sort of social ethos, or a social agenda, as you might say, behind people's motivation to report, to share stories, to empower people's voices. I don't know if that's a new thing. I suspect that's been part and parcel of journalism all along. But there is something going on here that seems slightly separate to the commercial world of journalism, where the story has to sell a product. There's almost like the product now is a slice of social action. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like it's becoming a lot more sort of personally relatable to people instead of commercial, and it's becoming a lot more of an accessible part of society that people want to use, and people want to use in both the sense that they want to get their message out there, but they also want to receive messages as well.
And what is your feelings about community radio, and particularly the one that you've been part of and clearly have benefited from?
I think it's absolutely fantastic. I didn't particularly know that community radio was such an important part of society, and especially my town, until I joined Stafford FM. You know, I always knew it was there as a radio station, but I never really understood until I was a part of it just what it did for both the volunteers and everyone who works there, and also the listeners and everything that we put out and they put back in. I think it's a really important part of our town.
Well, that's superbly articulated. Do you think you'll keep in touch with the radio station?
Yeah, definitely. I'm hoping to be able to, you know, if I'm back for Christmas, back home, hoping to be able to go in and help out in any way that I can. And I owe a lot to Stafford FM, and being able to volunteer there has given me so much confidence and developed my knowledge and also got me a university place.
Well, the benefits, as you've so clearly articulated, have been enormous to you, but I'm sure that work has also benefited the key commitments, the work of Stafford, in engaging its audiences. I think that's the double win, isn't it? You benefit yourself with skill developments and experience, but at the same time you're generating content that is of interest to the locality.
Yeah, definitely. I hope I've been able to, you know, put something into that, to the radio station and to the listeners that is good, yeah.
Well, I love your story, and thank you so much for sharing it with us. I think you are going to a fantastic city. I think everywhere in the UK is worth visiting and worth reporting on, because there's stories everywhere that we look. But Liverpool has a special quality about it, and I hope you get out and about with your microphone and discover a fantastic and varied and diverse city.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's going to be such a great asset to me alongside studying journalism, is being able to practice it.
Well, I look forward to hearing your stuff at some point. Do keep in touch with us.
Will do. Thank you very much.
And thank you so much for talking to the In Radio podcast.
Thank you, and thanks for having me on the podcast. It's a really, really great opportunity. In Radio.
And that's it for this outing of the In Radio podcast. So many things going on at the moment, I'm caught up in a whirlwind, and we'll see what emerges from that for future themes of the programme, but certainly coming up will be my community radio tour of South Wales, and I'm recording a whole bunch of conversations on the theme of the value of radio to community. For now, though, there is no more. And abruptly, the sound ceased.